Hey guys, don't forget the 2023 Street Cop Training Conference, Nashville, Tennessee, April 23rd through the 28th. You do not want to miss this. So far, guest speakers, Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL that was responsible for killing Osama bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, U.S. Marine, Medal of Honor recipient, jumping on an IED to protect his platoon. Fox News host Tommy Lahren returns for 2023. Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff Mark Lamb, Sheriff David Clark, and more to come. You don't want to miss this event. We additionally have 20 of the country's top law enforcement educators giving you the best experience of your life. You will leave this event knowing more about your job and how to be proficient at the things you do, hands down, any other event that you'll ever attend. I personally guarantee it. Don't miss out. There's a room code at streetcop.com for our room block and room code at the Gaylord at Opry is where the event's taking place. Don't miss out on a discounted rate. The rate is from Sunday to Thursday. Put that in and find yourselves at a half-price room. Split it with a friend, but make sure you get there. You don't want to miss this event. It is going to be that good. If you trust me and you trust Street Cop, trust that you will leave there feeling like you've had an experience of a lifetime.
You training to be a street cop?
Defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police.
Yes, I support the defund movement.
Talking about the reduction of our NYPD budget and defunding a $6 billion NYPD budget.
Not only do we need to defund, but we need to dismantle.
Lawlessness in our streets, spiking crime rates, violence, murder, smash and grabs, you name it, it's happening. And yet the Democrats either turn a blind eye or somehow manage to blame it on Republicans. So you got to hand it to them. When it comes to the gaslight, they let their lies light the way. But joining me now to break it all down from the law enforcement and non-felon coddling perspective is former law enforcement officer and founder of Street Cop Training, Dennis Bonino. All right, Dennis, we saw the clip. They wanted to defund, and now some of them still want to defund, but some of them are really running away from that narrative, even trying to convince us that they didn't defund their police departments. In fact, trying to tell us, no, we wanted to increase the police budget. What do you say to all that?
Well, clearly it has backfired and badly. And we're at a point now where I can't even project how you fix it, to be honest with you, because the people that you sold out, the men and women in law enforcement who did this job for pennies on the dollar for a reason, for a why, to serve the people for next to nothing. All they had left was their purpose and their why, and you remove that from them. So they've left and gone to other places, and namely outside of cities into suburbs where they're welcome with open arms because they're human beings, and they need respect, and they need somebody to have their back.
Oftentimes I hear, well, now we're refunding the departments. We acknowledge it was a bad idea to defund, to reallocate funds and mess with our budgets. We get it, but don't worry. Now we're refunding them. And I say the exact same thing that you just said. It's one thing to fund them, but you can give officers $1 million. It doesn't make the job any easier when you undermine them at every turn. And I think that's the biggest thing right now with law enforcement officers, besides just the demonization, the demoralization, because that exists from the media, but it's also being undermined. It's one thing when people just hate you. I think we can all at some point, it's like, oh, they hate us, they hate me, they hate you, whatever. At least I can do my job. But officers on the street now are not really able to do their job because of all this cockamamie bail reform, letting felons out of prison, wanting to clear the prisons. Is there a solution to that from a law enforcement perspective?
Well, there's a few things we got to look at. The first one is, we're always going to need cops. So there has to be a solution. So there has to be hope. And actually, the answer to this whole thing was, if you actually wanted better cops, was to fund the police even more. Because what lacks in law enforcement is essentially just better training. And with better training, you'll have better cops. So if you want better cops, why would you defund them and not fund them more and invest in these people more? And these are people that you have to give credit to, even some of them in the current state of affairs or previous state of affairs in the past few years in the country have still shown up and are resilient enough to say, I can ignore the noise and do the work because I know it's important to those people who did not say they didn't want me. There are people in this community who say they need us, and I know they need us. So, yeah, there's hope. You have to have hope. It's not going anywhere. We've got to fix it.
people, I think, even if they acknowledge they need law enforcement officers, when you've got these activist DAs, I mean, you can go out, you can arrest people. They're back on the street the next day, especially seeing that in New York City, of course. You've got San Francisco and all of California where you can pretty much go in and ransack a Walgreens and get away with it. I mean, people are walking around with stuffed items in their pants. And what do? They don't stop you. And so even if they do, you have a law enforcement officer that shows up. You got a homeless person shooting up needles on your stoop. And they say, listen, I can take the guy in, but he's going to be right back here in a few hours. Is there a solution to these activist DAs and the George Soros funded political machine that's behind all of this? That's actively working to undermine those on the street.
I mean, I think it's time to have the honest conversation of stopping to politicize or stop politicizing the police and use them as pawns for your political agendas. This is one profession that needs to be separate from political agendas. Unfortunately, they're a significant pawn in political agendas. And now, again, like you see, everybody's pulling back from it. They're changing their tune because it was such a big failure. It was such a big failure, such a knee-jerk reaction. The emotions that were tied to whatever you want to consider the state of affairs, and I'm indifferent in the sense of I'm not going to start taking positions on all these different things that occurred. I'll call it like I see it when I see it. It's not right. But that's irrelevant to the point. The problem we have now is a solution that didn't work. And everybody who had a brain said this is never going to work. It makes zero sense. So the solution is for everybody to just start acknowledging that we've made some significant mistakes, and for people who can to remove these folks out of political office, your district attorneys, your people. And you got the cops just running. They're terrified because they're prosecuting police officers faster than they're prosecuting criminals. It's wild.
I have a theory because I don't know. It doesn't do well for Democrats or anybody politically to defund the police and to have crime in our streets the way that it is now, to have these bail reform policies where people are really afraid in their own backyards. And now it's trickling into the suburbs as well. It's not just the big city. So it doesn't do well politically. I think it's going to be a big issue in the midterms. But I think, because I know how the political machine works, through chaos comes power and order. I feel like they want to nationalize the police, quite frankly. I feel like that's the ultimate goal here, is to take away power from individual jurisdictions and departments and nationalize it, because I think that the federal government would love to control all police the way they do the military.
Yeah, there's no question about it, but the likelihood of that happening is just slim to none, just because if you actually understand the agenda or how the structure is set up or the system's set up, everybody has their piece of the pie, their little kingdom, and they are not willing to give that up very, very comfortably. And there's a lot of political connections in places that would almost be impossible to occur, just because people, even chiefs and sheriffs, and all, they do have political influence for better or for worse, whatever it may be. I mean, we have some really, really great sheriffs and chiefs in this country, and you can tell who they are because you have people leaving places like the NYPD and going to work for them 10, 15 states away.
Right.
Because they're not cowards, because they have courage. And they will stand up for the men and women who show up to do this job thanklessly every single day.
You brought up training, which I think is so important. Obviously, that's what you've dedicated your post-law enforcement career to, is training law enforcement officers. As you know, I've been there and I see the classes that you guys have. I mean, it's extensive in your training officers. But we hear this all the time in the media. Training. Officers need to learn how to do this better, do that better. They need to learn how to community police better. And we hear that and it sounds great. It sounds like great lip service. But from a law enforcement perspective and a training perspective, what does that look like when they say things like community policing, officers need to do better? What is that?
Well, I don't think you need to speak out of one side of your mouth saying we need more training. On the other side of the coin, you haven't funded the police at all. You're defunding them. Training is important, but good training is important. And we have to acknowledge that that has to be not politicized as well. I don't use my friends or the people that I know after doing this for 10 years to get people to come to my training courses or our training courses. We have over 45 instructors now. Our proof is in the pudding. This is not a promotion for us. I'm understanding that training versus good training is the variable here. So you can't just say you did something and check a box. You've got to actually sit down, have the conversation, look at what you have as far as options and say, this is the best path forward. These are the people who are leading law enforcement in the training arena. And we should talk to them because they actually, maybe we don't have the skills and abilities to really discern what's good and what's not and take the information from the people who have attended and say, yeah, these are the guys, these are the girls, these are the people who are actually teaching us what we need to know. If you would like a better cop, send us here, have us train like this. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but there is hope, there's progression. And if it wasn't for the resiliency of the men and women in law enforcement who are willing to show up many times on their own time and dime, using vacation days, traveling on at their own cost to get better at this profession, even when they're making, like I said, probably subpar to what most people make in a profession. You know, it speaks volumes of who they are, and that's why there's so much hope, because you have the right people who have done this job, not because they needed a job, not because they wanted to make money, but because it was a calling and it meant something to them in their hearts.
You know, it certainly is a calling, and people that are still willing to do it despite everything being against them, that's an amazing person that really does want to protect and defend their community. But, you know, you and I talked about this before. There's been a lot of cases. We see them, and I always try to take them with a grain of salt when I say, look at this video, you know, the viral videos. This officer is beating the hell out of this person. This officer did that. Oh, my God, can you believe it? And I always say, I want to take a step back, ask my law enforcement friends, is this egregious or was this cherry-picked and edited? What happened here? What led up to it? When you see certain videos like this, what does the general public need to know when they're seeing one of these cell phone videos of an officer using force? What elements are we unaware of in that situation?
What happened beforehand? What happened afterhand? What was it for? What were they sent there for? What was the job about? Why is the person actively fighting them? You don't have a right to resist law enforcement. They are not beating you to death. They are trying to achieve an objective of bringing you into custody for some violation. Even if you didn't commit that violation, that's what court's for. So you can show up to court and say, this wasn't me, I didn't do this. But to actively fight another human being who's been empowered to do the job of taking criminals into justice and into custody, you don't have a right to fight the police. You have a right to defend yourself in the court of law, but you can't fight the cops. So then again, what happened during, after, before? What did their department say? Is the department clearing them already of excessive use of force? I don't know. There's just so many sides to the story. People say to me, well, what's your opinion? Well, I don't know. I don't know all the details. I'm not knee-jerk reacting to these things and just jumping down and being critical. I know what that does, and it doesn't resolve anything. And again, I think that we need to begin to have more of a communication and an open-door policy of explaining things if we're willing to sit down as adults and have the conversation, not just walking in with an agenda that I hate the police, no matter what you say, is never going to be enough satisfaction for me to concede that something was right or something was wrong here, and on both sides as well.
Right. No, I think that's important when we acknowledge things that were done poorly and things that were done excessively. That's advantageous to law enforcement as a whole and those of us who support law enforcement adamantly. But I think you brought up another good point about resisting arrest. And, you know, I said this when I spoke to your group, and I say it at every university I go to, every law enforcement function I go to, like, listen, none of these police use of deadly force that I can think of, at least in the last several of years, would have happened if the perpetrator, or let's just say they were innocent, hadn't resisted arrest. Mm. Have your day in court. Say this officer was a racist a-hole. That's fine. But when you're resisting arrest, you're pulling out a knife, you're pulling a gun, you're running away. Listen, you don't have a right to do that, like you said. And if you would just comply, you will have your day in court and you would get actual justice. And then, you know what, maybe that bad apple would be taken care of another way. But you can't do that if you're dead. But why do you think that is now that people feel so empowered to resist arrest, and not only just resist arrest, but actually actively assault law enforcement?
I mean, let's look what happened in Atlanta. The previous mayor literally jumped the gun and had the police officer, who was later cleared, charges dismissed, and is now sitting on probably one of the fattest lawsuits against the city of Atlanta, had him prosecuted immediately without any kind of due process. So it sends a signal to the community that, hey, it doesn't matter what you do to the cops, we got your back up top and we don't have their back at all. So they're setting the playing ground. They're setting the rules of what you're allowed to do, what you can get away with. And if the cops have to take action, we will not support them. We will support the people in the field. And again, I'm not talking about the incident itself. I'm saying what they've said as far as precedent. When they say, we're here on your side. And you know what's crazy? It's just wild. Like, these political leaders, quote unquote, that have come up with these solutions, these knee-jerk reactions, these defund movements. And what they don't realize is, or maybe they do realize now, that they have now cost the city or the cities that they live in millions of dollars, countless lives lost because of what you've done and how you've chastised and criticized law enforcement. So they set the rules. They set this precedent. They set the arena of what you're allowed to get away with, and we're going to make sure that you can do that and be disrespectful to law enforcement.
Well, I mean, we've seen it in the last several years as well. There's riots in the streets. Even if the convict, the felon, the perpetrator has a gun, a knife, I mean, a bomb. Some of these people, they don't care. It's like you don't have a right to neutralize that threat regardless. If that person is a certain skin color, they are untouchable. And that's ridiculous because those people are probably committing crimes in other minority neighborhoods and hurting the very people of color that we're supposed to be uplifting, we're supposed to be enfranchising and protecting. So it's absolutely ridiculous to me. But I think there's a lot of money in it. So you got people like, what is it, Ben Crump, who goes around suing cities and on behalf of families, and they make a lot of money off this because the city doesn't want to fight the lawsuit. Mm-hmm. They settle, they pay out. They've learned that this is a cash cow to go after the police, settle, go after the police, settle. Everyone's walking away with huge chunks of change. So that's a big part of it too. And I don't know if there's a solution to that.
I mean, could you imagine the police officer who goes out and tries to do the job with basically the little training they have and try to achieve these objectives to protect society, protect themselves, ensure they go home to their families, bring offenders to justice, and that is constantly hanging over their head that anything I do, I'm going to be scrutinized, because it doesn't even matter if the agency is now responsible for the lawsuit and they may be absolved from having any kind of personal assets tied into it. The emotional roller coaster that cops go through of being told, do your job, but if you do it, there's a likelihood that we're going to bring you through hell and back. You might get absolved, you might get cleared, no problem, but man, it's a daunting ride to be on. And every cop will tell you, a lot of times it's really not the job itself that's difficult. It's the BS that comes with the job that's very difficult. And BS, just like the stuff you talked about, mm-hmm. knowing that we did our job, but yet somebody's going to show up and criticize. We did it to the letter of the law, exactly what you wanted, exactly what the training said. It was a flawless job. A lot of times we don't even think we did anything. We're like, wow, this is great. What a great job. And mm-hmm. then 3 days later, you're being served, or a week later or 2 weeks later, with a notice or a subpoena to appear before courts for a civil rights violation. You just can't figure out why. Like, what? When did these people think it was okay to do what they did and then turn around and sue us for taking action? Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Well, and the court of public opinion makes that decision and they can ruin your life. So I've often said this, officers have two choices now. You're either going to die in the line of duty, or you're going to take the action needed and that you were trained to use, and then you're essentially going to die anyway because your name has been so smirched and you've been so demonized and your face and your picture is everywhere and you are now so hated and your family is so hated and targeted. At that point, you're essentially dead. But the last question I have for you, because I hear this all the time, big supporter of law enforcement, as you know, when I say about officers that die in the line of duty, and of course you got the green-haired liberals on there that are, well, they know what they signed up for. They knew what that job was. You know, they didn't have to use that force. That they signed up to die in the line of duty. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying. When you hear that, what would you tell these people?
These are human beings, just like your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, somebody you love, somebody that loved them will no longer see them ever again in their lives. Last night in Bristol, Connecticut, I believe it was a fake 911 call, and a gentleman had met these men. I don't know if there's a woman involved as well, but these law enforcement officers, and executed them. And I know for a fact the one sergeant there has two small children and a third baby on the way, I was told this morning. So how is that fair? Why did they deserve to die when they showed up to do something so noble that many of us can't even imagine what it's like to have to show up in a situation like that? It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And a lot of these people, what I've understood is just really have a lack of perspective. And you know, one thing I want to say is that we can say that the media paints law enforcement under one broad brush for the most part. Not all media, but a lot of the media, because it sells. But what cops need to remember is that there are a lot of people, I would say far majority of society, that support them and love them. And I try to remind people of that, because we can get jaded in the reading all these websites and all the stuff we see on social media, but you wouldn't be too hard or too steadfast or too pressed to find somebody that would say thank you to you or maybe try to offer you something in appreciation for your service. So, well, we have to acknowledge that there are some agendas that are making law enforcement seem like they're criminals. The far majority of the United States loves them, and they need to remember that. And they have to remember when they show up to work, they have to show up with enthusiasm, because it doesn't matter what's going on politically or at the agency, is that there is somebody out there who's ready to take your life. And if you're down, if you're just beat up and you don't want to be there anymore and you're unenthusiastic, that could cost you your life or the life of other people. So we have to do a good job of remembering why we're here, and they do a good job of it. It's wild. It's just amazing to watch these people still show up with enthusiasm, with hope. And I'm just proud to be a part of this organization and this profession, because they are the best men and women I've ever met in my life. Listen, I'm not sitting here saying that they're all perfect. I'm not sitting here saying that every profession has their issues, but resolving those issues appropriately is how we come to a resolution, because the cops can't go anywhere. We need them. It's clear as day. And it's important for everybody to remember that.
I think it's important also for those that are not in law enforcement to make it very clear that we support law enforcement and to be proud of it. And that's something that I preach all the time. People, it's become almost controversial now to support law enforcement. And when I see cowardly conservatives who are afraid to be pro-law enforcement or pro-anything because they don't want their liberal friends not to like them, like, you guys are literally putting your lives on the line every single day. The least we could do is be proud enough to support you in what you do for us. But thank you for everything that you do for the law enforcement community, for bringing me into the fold and allowing me to meet all the wonderful men and women in your organization. And we're happy to have you in Nashville.
I want to say one last thing that a lot of people don't know about Tommy is that she's a kind woman. And I really believe in my heart that she doesn't support law enforcement to push any kind of agenda. I really believe that you are somebody who appreciates law enforcement at its core. And the reason I say this, because I know that you do a lot of things that, unbeknownst to public knowledge, show up in a lot of places at your own time and dime and continue to support. And you have the courage, unlike a lot of people, and we're asking you for your courage to say, you know what, I'm on board with this. I'm on board with these men and women. So on behalf of the law enforcement community, I just want to say thank you to you. It means a lot. We know what it's like to work with you behind the scenes, and you do a really, really nice job of giving us the credit that we deserve.
Well, I appreciate that, and I feel like I do so little to what you guys do, but I thank you so much for saying that.
Thanks
I really
for having
appreciate
me. I appreciate
that. Thank you. And we'll see you very soon as well.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.